from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Wouldn't you just know it? And Rory McIlroy begins the defence of his just Scottish Open title with a birdie at his very first hole.
Rory today with an eagle at the Scottish Open. He's back on the golf course. We'll talk plenty of Open Championship next week, and I'm sure plenty about Rory after what happened at the U.S. Open only a few weeks ago. It's Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here on Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off until Bill's training camp. It's a rainy Thursday. The rain has held up a little bit in the last couple of minutes, but it was pouring before that, and we might have a lot of that throughout the day today. Not as severe weather-wise, though, as yesterday. I don't expect that we're going to get tornado warnings all over the place again. Marty Schimmel from the Porter Cup Niagara Falls Country Club, now on the West Her Hotline. I don't think, Marty, you've ever had to deal with tornado warnings with the Porter Cup, probably.
Yeah, we're not. We're hoping that this rain gets out of its system this week. We'll have sunny and blue skies next week. Yeah, we don't want to deal with rain or tornado warnings.
Yeah. So Porter Cup coming up at Niagara Falls Country Club once again, July 17th through the 20th. So weather-wise, have you had a lot to deal with on that front in past years where it's been, like, really bad right away?
Last year we had a good weather, and we had a really nice crowd out, and with only the final two groups left on the course, the skies opened up. And the crowd scattered for cover, and we were in, like, about an hour and 15 minute delay, and we've got to finish the tournament. The final two groups were on 17 and 18. But and then I recall in 2008, mm-hmm. I was chairman in 2008, we had 5 rain delays. And it was kind of a real, it's a logistical nightmare, but you just have to find a way to get it done. We're hoping we don't have to have those plans in place next week. We do have plans in place, evacuation plans and safe house plans and things like that. But it's plans like that that you hope you never have to use.
Yeah. We'll get to the tournament. How what's the earliest you'll look at, like, the forecast in advance for the tournament?
I started looking yesterday. It's funny. If you want to know the truth, yesterday's forecast showed a 40% chance for Wednesday and clear skies the rest of the week. So we had our final committee meeting last night, and I started it off. I said, well, hopefully, you know, if it's just going to rain a little bit, I suppose Wednesday's the one day you'd like it. But we're hoping for sunny skies and clear weather from Tuesday, our ham am, all the way through the final of the event on Saturday.
Marty, this is my 12th year on the Bills sideline, and don't worry, I check the weather in every city we're going, like, 2 weeks ahead of time to start preparing for it, to think about it.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. So, and when you come from Western New York, it's kind of like a way of life, checking the weather.
Yep.
No doubt.
So the player field this year, we were at the press conference, the event, earlier in the week. Big field, 116 players. What are some of the features or the highlights of the player pool this year?
Well, we've got, we do have one of our biggest, and quite frankly, guys, we feel this is one of our best fields in the last 10 years. We really put an effort into recruiting this year. Myself, Janelle DiGregorio, Michael Boss, JP Bedard, our club pro, and others. But we really dug in, and we sent out the tradition, the emails early in the year, and then we followed up with phone calls and emails, and I actually, as we got a little bit closer, I followed several of the matches and careers that these kids were playing in college, and I send them a note, congratulations on your performance last week, looking forward to seeing you in July, things like that. And I think they appreciated the personal touch, because we got a nice field this year. So, so we're excited. As far as highlights, we do have our returning champs back from last year, Juan Martín Luero from Argentina, and Canada's Sarah Gallagher are back on the women's side. We also have, for the first time, we invited the winners of the Steph Curry Underrated Tour. Hmm. And we are going to get a young fellow named Lucky Cruz, 17 years old. He's committed to the University of Houston next year. And Rasheen Scanlon from Great Britain. She'll be here. They're both registered and ready to come here. On the ladies' side, we have three outstanding players from the Southeastern Conference. I'm going to say probably the three best players in our women's field, Kendall Todd from the University of Arkansas, Vanessa Gilley from Tennessee, and Nicole Gall. She's from Oakville, Ontario. She just completed her sophomore year at Mississippi. So those are, some of the names. We've got the Fung sisters, Emily and Alex Fung. They're young sisters from Forest Hills, New York. The one sister played last year, and both of them are coming back and playing this year. So we're delighted to have them as well.
You
on the men's side.
No, sorry. I was just quick follow up before I'll let you continue. You mentioned that the past champions are back. Have you ever had a repeat winner?
I don't believe we've ever had a repeat winner. We have had, past champions come back, but not recently. We've had multiple winners. I don't know if we've had. Quite frankly, don't know if we've had back-to-back winners. I don't think we have.
Okay.
But we have had multiple winners in the past.
Okay.
As we were going on the men's side, the highlight names, as we mentioned earlier this week, John Daly II is coming back, and we've got Jacob Immelman is playing. Jacob Immelman is playing out of Clemson next year, and it's the first time we've had two sons of two former PGA major winners. We know that Trevor Immelman, Jacob's dad, who's currently the lead analyst on CBS Golf, he won the Masters, I believe it was 2008 or 2009, and of course John Daly's dad won a couple of majors, so that's kind of exciting. Should get the fans' interest, spectators' interest. Garrett Engle is returning for the third time. Garrett just came off a win at the Dogwood Invitational in Atlanta. I'm excited about a young man heading to Auburn University next year. The national champions, Tyler Spielman. He was the 2023 High School Golfer of the Year in the United States. So that's something we're pretty happy about. We've got three members of Notre Dame's NCAA contending team this year. It was the first time since 1966 that Notre Dame made the finals in the NCAA golf Division I playoffs. So that's pretty good news. You've got a couple of people from Vanderbilt, a couple of players, Chase Devens and Ben Loomis. Vanderbilt finished number two in the country this year. Oklahoma State sending three players, and we have our complement of the Australians this year. We have six Aussies coming this year, which is pretty high number. A lot of them have stayed in the States. I got a phone call, maybe a month and a half ago from Harrison Endicott, former champion and current PGA player, recommending two of these Australian players. When a former winner and a current member of the tour recommends somebody, you kind of listen. You know, they're pretty, you know, pretty much of what they speak. So that's just a little bit about our field. We've got some, you know, some local kids in there. Of course, our club champ, Nick Morial. Billy Haynes will be here. Ryan Edholm, Canisius College, Tonawanda, Canisius College, and young Joey Wemmy from Canisius High School. We're looking forward to him, 15 years old. He was runner-up in the Junior Masters. And we're thinking that here's a young man we could have for a few years down the road. So it's going to be it's a pretty, pretty well-rounded field on the men's side, and we're ready to, you know, tee it up and get it going next week.
I'm interested in the mechanics. We talked a little bit about this at the luncheon the other day, you know, how it all works with your staff putting it together. How do you select the field? How does that process work? How far back do you go? When does it start happening? How do players find you? How do you find players?
Typically, we will send our first wave of invites out to the top 25 players at the end of January, early February. And it's getting more and more difficult each year, I think we talked about before, with all the added events. And you've got college players leaving early to go join the pros. There were three college players on the PGA Tour within the past two or three weeks that normally would have been playing in one of some of these amateur tournaments over here. But, you know, obviously the PGA takes precedence. We had a young sophomore from University of Tennessee, Caleb Surratt, left school to join the LIV Tour. So these are some of the problems we didn't have 20 years ago, you know. But typically we send our first wave out in late January, early February, and then we will follow it up with phone calls and emails to certain coaches, and then we have a second wave that we will send out. And once the second wave hits, then you start getting other people contacting, other players contacting you. You know, their teammate may have gotten a letter and their an email, and they're curious about it, and that's when it starts growing a little bit. And for the first time in a while, we've got 80 men in the field, which that will go down a little, but I think we'll probably be around 76, 75, because you always get the late last-minute withdrawals for various reasons. But we could have actually taken another 20 kids. We had a waiting list. We reviewed their, you know, saw some of the tournaments they played, saw some of their scores, and then we had to tell about 20 people that, you know, we couldn't take them this year. So in a way, that's a pretty good position to be in.
In terms of spectators, is there information people need to know on that front?
I'm sorry, I missed that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
For, like, spectators, if someone's interested in showing up to the tournament and watching?
Oh, spectators, there's no admission. Okay. So admission is free. There's parking. The Boy Scouts have a parking lot. I believe it's $5. Goes to their charity. The Scouts have a parking lot off of Military Road there, off of number 10 Green and next to number 14 Fairway, which our longtime spectators are familiar with. And there's parking in the, you know, in the areas around the club. But I think the main thing is it's a free day. Hopefully the weather's nice. You can come out and watch some really, really good golf.
All right, July 17th through the 20th, the Porter Cup at Niagara Falls Country Club. Hoping for some good weather, Marty. Appreciate the time, and good luck with the tournament.
I have to ask one question.
Yeah, no, go for it.
How did the GR foursome fare in our golf outing the other day? I want to know who was
telling the story, Joe. Tell them the story.
I mean, good and bad, all the way from, you know, the whole round to the last hole, you could say that, where, you know, the front was very, couldn't hit the ball off the ground for like a five-hole stretch. But then, you know, back nine for me was great. And we're recording, we're doing our little par three challenge there on 18. And I go first, and okay, pressure. I'm on camera taking this shot. And what do? Of course, I pull it beyond belief, and it goes across the road.
It's probably ended up in the village of Lewiston.
Yeah. So then the other three, so Sal hits, Green, Jeff Blank, who you'll talk to tomorrow, or excuse me, Saturday, and Tita Green. He hits on the green. Jonathan Colesio hits it on the green. So we're still on camera. I'm like, all right, let me hit my third one from the tee just to get it on there. Maybe I get some redemption. And the ball trickles past the hole and lands, I don't know, 3 feet from the hole. And
amazing.
As it's in the air or as it's crawling towards the hole, I think you can hear me out loud, Marty, saying, I don't even think I want this to go in. because in my mind, I'm like, do I want this hole in one that's not even really a hole in one?
It would have been a heck of a par.
It would have been an incredible par.
Amazing. But of course, your
three playing partners would have kept it a secret and told everyone it was a legit
hole. Oh, sure they would have, yes.
For sure. Now, I will tell you, though, Marty, so we had a very rare feat, we'll tell you. I don't know how rare this would be for most average, just, you know, guys like us to go out and play a little bit. So we played, which hole was it, Joe? Do you remember? There's a par five in the back nine. Which hole was it?
I'm looking right now. I think it was 12.
Okay. Par five. Is 12 a par five, Marty?
Which one? Which one?
12?
Which are the two par fives in the back nine?
It was 13. 13.
11 13. 13.
Okay.
So 13.
Okay. So on 13, this has never happened to me or Joe. All four of us in the group legitimately birdied the hole.
Nice.
I wonder, we were debating, Mario, I'm sure for like Porter Cup level players, of course, you know, that's probably not that rare. But for, you know, a couple guys who are like 15 handicap-ish, like that's me at least. I know Jeff's a two, so Jeff's a great golfer. Right. He'll get a bunch of birdies. But for my caliber, like four birdies on one hole, I feel like I had never seen that happen in a group I've been playing in.
And we all, Marty, had to sink one probably within 6 to 10 feet for the birdie.
Yeah, that too.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so it went well. It was a lot of fun. Appreciated you having us out there.
We appreciate you coming out and looking forward to seeing you guys this week.
Definitely. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah,
appreciate
beautiful
the
course. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And Marty will be on Saturday with Jeff Blank. And I don't know, I should know, I don't know if Brian's back from Norway yet. He's got his...
You didn't have to tell the story about going over the road. I wanted the good story.
You wanted the good story, the birdie story?
Yeah, you didn't have to say that story, although it was a good story. Yeah. I wanted the birdie story. It was a good, positive story.
The birdie story is a good story. Especially, like, I like pressure. I don't mind it. I definitely was, like, under pressure, though. Like, what, 7-footer, 6-footer? Ish for birdie, but you two draining some good healthy putts right before that. Yeah, that was fun. I definitely had not had that happen before. Four birdies on the same hole. Definitely.
I also I don't mind the pressure at all. Because I actually perform a little better playing golf that way, a little under pressure. Like, I got to make this shot. I got to get dialed in more. Like, you could be loosey-goosey playing golf, right? And I got to get a little dialed in. And, you know, I go every year down to Florida, play with my buddies with this big tournament. And I'm always like, my goal is to get to the final day with the best group, because we play off. And even if you're not good at all, it doesn't matter. You're going to play with people who aren't that good at the end. So my goal is to get in the top group, but I usually don't win if I get in the top group, if that makes sense, right?
Yep.
So... I've done that many times, and I did win a couple years ago, and I had to make a couple really big shots, like to a couple iron shots, a couple putts. But I also twice lost a pretty big, good size lead, I guess, for us, several stroke lead on the back nine, because I got a little too loosey goosey. And I realized, like, I need that pressure on me. I think there's a different kind of pressure when you're up and you're kind of like, okay, you're rolling along, then when, okay, I need to make sure that I match shot for shot here. And I was better in that situation than I was when I was kind of up and they were chasing me.
Yeah. There's some not really like serious breaking news. It's not really even breaking news, but I'm going to pass it off as breaking news. Mike Baggerman, our old buddy from down the hall at WBEN, just tweeted at me and Brian Mazurowski down the hall a picture from the Buffalo airport where the New England Patriots plane is on the tarmac.
Okay.
Why would that be the case? Why are
it's
they
It's not the New England Patriots plane.
It's not their
plane.
Well,
maybe it is. Let me see. Wait a minute. I should not say that. Some airlines actually have a plane that is sponsored by different teams. There's a Jets plane out there like this.
Okay, the Patriots, I thought, though, had a team plane.
They do, so it could be. So I don't want to say it's not their plane. I'm not telling you it is or it isn't. Wait a minute now, let me look. Hold on. Okay, I'm looking at the picture. This would be the Patriots plane.
This is the Patriots plane.
Because this is parked in the area where the Bills take off and land.
Okay.
This is not the normal airport part.
Okay. See, this is why, good thing we have Sal here, because I would have never known that there's a separate... Well, that would make sense, though,
yeah,
right? The Bills would land
in
a separate park.
Where people come to welcome the team back sometimes.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
Is it.
That's right.
Right there.
I did that one time. I only did that after they made the playoffs in 2017, but I do remember that. Okay, so...
I mean, but I have no idea why that would be the case.
Wrong answers only. Why are the Patriots right. in Buffalo right now? Is very, very strange. It could be for anything. I don't know. It's probably nothing that would even be that interesting, I bet, but...
Right.
Just kind of strange. Like, hey, July 23rd, 11th, Thursday, there's the New England Patriots. I mean, they have
a
plane.
They're not the Patriots. The team is not on the plane coming.
No, here. I know. But someone from the Patriots, right? No? Kraft? He wouldn't use that plane, would he? It's a big plane.
Yeah, see, that's the thing I'm thinking. I'm along the same line as you.
It's just weird.
Like, which is like, wait a minute, like, that's not going to be... It's not going to be Bob Kraft taking that plane. He's going to take
a
helicopter or a private plane.
Right. That's
like
a,
I think he did literally
plane.
Land in a helicopter at the stadium for a game a couple years ago.
Really?
Yes.
I think did I hear Goodell maybe does that when he comes to the games too? They have like a helipad like near the stadium.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
No, you're right. Like Kraft would not take a plane this big. I don't think around the country when he needs to get from place to place. I would hope not. That would seem like that's a big waste of jet fuel. Yeah, just very weird and interesting that the Patriots plane just happens to be in Buffalo. When we come back, Wyatt Russell, actor, son of Kurt Russell, he's in town. We'll tell you why when we come back. We'll have some fun coming up in the 9:30 segment here on a Thursday, a rainy Thursday here on WG.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
GR.
This is not a negotiation.
I understand.
This is a mandate.
I'm just asking to be heard.
It is a mandate.
I understand that! I lived my life by your mandates. I dedicated my life to your mandates. I only ever did what you asked of me, what you told me to be and trained me to do, and I did it. And I did it well.
From The Falcon and the Winter Soldier comes that clip. Wyatt Russell, Now on the Wester Hotline, our first actor that I can remember having on the show, at least since I've been sitting in this chair. Morning, Wyatt. Thanks for coming on.
All right. How's it going?
It's going pretty well. A lot to get into with you that I'm excited about. Hockey, among other things. The acting career as well. But you're in town?
I'm in town, yeah. I'm here visiting my partner and bud, Rich Pete, who lives on Lake Canisius in Geneseo. Canisius Lake, sorry. It's a distinction I need to figure out. And we're doing a little, like, you know, fun Western New York tour for Lake Hour, the canned cocktail that we created, the home of Lake Hour's right here in Western New York, proud to be. And, yeah, we're having a good time catching up and just visiting accounts and saying hi to people, coming on shows and letting people know about the amazing drink that we created and all the fun stuff.
We're getting Wyatt back on the ice Sunday. I'm pulling him out of retirement.
Terrified about.
Wait, we need to get him. Rich, we need to get Wyatt back. We need to get Wyatt on the 11-day power play next year. That's what he needs to be.
I know. We need to get.
Yeah, I love that idea.
I
have not put on. My last game was in Holland when I was 24. And I didn't want to, it was like, you know, minor professional hockey, and I didn't want to pay like the $160 to bring my gear back. So I literally gave all of my gear, signed it to the kids and like gave my gear away. They're like, I'm never playing hockey again. At least goalie. and then the only time I put pads back on was 13 years later. They wanted me to do this like all-star breakaway competition. And my buddy Cam Talbot, who made the All-Star team that year, was there. So I was like, okay, I'll get back on the ice and see Cam again. And, of course, like, got embarrassed by Trevor Zegras with, like, the world's most insane move. But
when he was blindfolded during that All-Star game? When Zegras did the blindfolded penalty shot, Wyatt was in goal for that.
Yeah. Is that your partner, by the way, Richard Pete, there?
Yes. Hello. Yeah. Hi.
Hey. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Rich.
Yeah. So we'll get in. I want to get a follow up on the hockey there. But yeah, Lake Hour new canned cocktail, which is my go to. So I'm very excited to talk with you guys now on this vodka, tequila. It's a bunch of different flavors. So we'll get into more on that as well. How rusty are you if you put on the pads tomorrow? And also, is that what he means when you're getting back on the ice, or are you putting skates on and just skating around?
We haven't, like, I haven't signed on any dotted lines yet.
Okay.
When I went back on the ice a couple years ago, I have a buddy, Teddy Purcell. He used to play for the Kings, and he's a friend through a friend. And so I actually played against him when I played in the USHL, and I called him. I was like, can you just, like, shoot on me for, you know, half an hour? Went down to the ring just to make me remember that I can do this. And I got back on, and it was like, oh, God, okay. I remember, I was, like, walking. You spend, like, you know, 90% of your life on the ice. And so I was like, oh, I can do this. And there was a 7-year-old that was out there. And I was like, yeah, I'll get to take some shots from the kids. And I, like, went in the net, figured out where I was. And then he shot and scored the first shot at, like, just some, like, you know, floater. And I realized, like, I'm 17 feet out of position. Like, I have no idea where I am. I can look like I know what I'm doing, but I'm lost on the ice now. But I think I could figure it out. I think I could, you know, you could throw me in there as an emergency backup, and I might let in less than 10.
Mm-hmm.
We let it. We have a beer league team, Team Lake Hour, that plays on Sundays at ESL or Bill Gray's. We let in 13 this past weekend. So that's the barometer. Why I just need to let in less than 13.
Now, Wyatt, you were born in 86, but, you know, I'm 51. I remember the first movie I remember your dad playing in, I was very young, was Escape from New York. He played a character named Snake, right? It was a great movie. I love Escape from New York. I was a young kid watching this. Really cool. What is your entry point of your dad's acting career?
Used Cars is a movie I don't know if you guys have seen. It is. He was like, maybe he was 30, 29. He's like, it was before Escape from New York, so maybe he was like 28. And it's this class. It's Bob Zemeckis' second movie, and it's to me. We had a lake cottage in Muskoka, Ontario, which is like, you know, just across the border. That's where I grew up, every summer for 3 months. We'd go there from the time I was like 5 to like 27 years old. And that was my, every good thing that ever happened to me there, happened there. And we had like only VHS. We didn't have TV. And for whatever reason, they had used Cars as a VHS. And I wore that tape out and I thought it was the funniest movie I've ever seen, and it's like definitely informed a lot of my humor. It is also like the closest movie that my dad's done to his humor. It's like a that's my entry point. It's a classic movie. It's one of my favorite movies, and I have to say that's my entry point.
Okay. I might be off on timing here, so this might not be how it happened, but is your interest in hockey at all connected to your dad filming Miracle?
No, so like that was done in 2003 or 4, I believe, in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. By that point, I was 17 years old, and I had moved to Vancouver to play junior hockey. I was playing on a team called the Richmond Sockeyes, and the interesting thing about that is they wanted me to play one of the goalies, like not in the movie, like as a special services character, I'm the guy who can actually play goal. Mm-hmm. And it was during the season, so of course I was like, that's not what I'm here to do. But a couple of the guys from our team were on some of the other teams, like Team Sweden or Team Finland or Russia, yeah, or whatever, and they would shoot after we played. So we'd go to like Abbotsford, which was like kind of this like old barn, an hour outside of Vancouver. We'd play, and then the whole crew would be there as like fans of the team, and then they'd come on after we were done playing. So it was like this funny thing where my dad would go to work literally at the rink that I just finished my game at. I'd go home, and they'd shoot at the rink at night when the rink wasn't being used. So it was kind of a funny crossover.
Yeah. So how is your experience been then? Goon 2 also you were in, like in sports movies in general, like how they're shot, because of course they look like it's just live action and it's like a real game. Like how, I guess, coordinated or choreographed, I should say, is that, or is it more loose than other scenes?
Well, one of the really interesting things about Miracle, like Goon 2 was very choreographed because Jay wanted to shoot it in a certain way. It was really cool and fun. I made the mistake of being like, I don't need the double for the morning. Like they would shoot the real hockey players in the morning, and then the actors would go on in the afternoon. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Like I'll do both. And then I realized like, oh my God, I got to be in skates 12 hours a day. And like my feet were bleeding. And I was like, that was a really stupid decision. I'll never do that again. But what they did on Miracle, they started trying to do choreographed stuff. And then my dad and my goalie coach at the time, who was helping sort of like, you know, technical advise the show, we're like, you're never going to get a real feeling if you don't play a real game. So what they would do is they would take both teams, and then my dad would be like, hey, whoever wins gets like a steak dinner on me or whatever. They put something on the game. And my dad would coach one team, and like somebody else would coach the other, and they'd just play. And the director got really frustrated that it was like these set plays like aren't feeling real. And so they went out and were like, no, let's just play a game and play hard. And that's how it got the feeling of reality so yeah. well. And really any sports movie, because like they were really playing. And one of the requisites for being in the movie was like, if you hadn't played junior A hockey or like high level college hockey, like don't even come out. And so all those dudes were real hockey players. So there was no faking it. And it was, you could feel it, you know, and that's why that movie has such like a palpable feeling to it, is because they really like went at it.
All right, so I could be a little off on the history here. I think this is right. You tell me, though, and I know this is before you were born, but how cool is this? Speaking of hockey. So I don't know if you know this, Joe. So Wyatt's mom is Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn was filming a movie in Buffalo with Burt Reynolds called Best Friends. While they were filming here, Wayne Gretzky broke the scoring record, the single-season scoring record in Buffalo, downtown. Your mom is in a famous picture after that game with Wayne Gretzky.
That is very true.
Wait.
Also,
yep.
I believe, now I could be wrong here, but this is a kind of a fun Buffalo connection. I believe the goal was scored on Don Edwards. It's possible.
He had a hat trick in the third period to score on Don Edwards. That is correct.
Okay, so Don Edwards then moved to Los Angeles Don Edwards' great Buffalo goalie, won a Vezina trophy with Buffalo. He became my first real goalie coach because he lived in L.A. Wow. And then became the Kings goalie coach. And Don, who played a really, I mean, truly can't overstate this enough, massive part in my hockey life. Like, he was sort of my entry point into real world hockey, where he was the one who was like, when I was 14 and I was, you know, good and playing in L.A., but L.A. at that time, you couldn't really go past 15 or 16. Now they have a great program. But back then, Don was like, you got to leave. You got to get out of here. It's either like Vancouver or Toronto, or you got to go somewhere else to continue with hockey. And so Don, great Buffalo goalie legend, he's a massive, massive part of my life.
So you're saying that, that picture of that is Burt Reynolds, Wayne Gretzky standing in front of the Sabre logo, that's the one you're talking about?
Okay. That's right. That is Goldie Hawn. That's why it's mom.
Okay.
That's correct.
I have often said that I've referenced that picture and said no two cooler people have ever stood in front of the Sabres logo. I'm going to upgrade that to three cooler people then.
Love it.
I've never stood in front of the Sabres logo. That's awesome. So before we get to more on Lake Hour, recently I'm just getting into it the first couple episodes because I have one very nerdy obsession above sports, and that would be that I'm very into Godzilla movies. So Monarch on Apple TV is like a dream for me. I'm only a couple episodes in, though. For that series, is that the first time you've worked with your dad that often?
Yes. Okay. We'd worked together on other things, like sort of behind camera stuff that was more, you know, I guess business related, but not full on creatively doing a film or TV together. It was just something we like stayed away from. My family's been that way forever. It's like, hey, you do what you do, figure it out on your own. I'll do what I do and, you know, like see where the chips fall. That seems to work better that way. And so we just got offered a million things always because it was like father, son, and it's perfect. And you're like, okay, yeah, it's all low hanging fruit. Nothing was interesting. And this came along and it was just such a good idea where it was like, you're going to play the same character in different timelines. And it's Godzilla. It was a big thing. We knew that, like, Apple was going to push it. We knew the monsters were going to be great. I also knew that if I sucked, like, people would be like, the monster's awesome. Wyatt Russell's terrible. I had a backstop. But we really tried to make it great. And it was the first time we got to work together. We had a blast. It was so much fun. We're ready to go do season two now in Australia in a few weeks.
All right.
But it was, yeah, it was just, like, a really interesting experience. Some of it was very, very difficult, I won't lie, and but that was like kind of part of the beauty in it, where you get to work with your dad in a capacity that wasn't, you know, like your dad. You're really working as a team separately from your relationship, just trying to make something good. And we both realized, like, well, we work very similarly, and, you know, like our personalities are very similar when it comes to work, where it's, you know, it's all business, and we're trying to make the best thing possible. So we had a nice connecting bonding over that. And then the press tour was honestly where we really got to spend a lot of time together. Like we said, we hadn't spent that much time together since I was probably 13 in a hockey tournament.
Yeah.
So that was actually pretty fun. And but yeah, we're looking forward to season two. We'll see it shaping up really good. Got the scripts, love them. And you know, it'll be exciting.
Love it. Go ahead, Sal.
I want to ask about your partner, Rich Pete, who's a big Bills fan, and you guys are in this venture together with Lake Hour, which we'll talk about here and touch on before we let you go. Has he gotten you into the Bills? Are you part of Bills Mafia now, Wyatt?
I can't say that I am part of the Bills Mafia because I'm unfortunately a Denver Broncos fan.
Oh, I knew you were from Buffalo. I thought you were a Bills Mafia. Right, I'm sorry.
There are worse answers than that.
No, yeah. That's me. Okay. That was Wyatt. Wyatt is a Broncos fan. Rich is diehard.
Oh, Wyatt is. Okay. Rich, you are, though, right?
Yeah. Wyatt's Broncos.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I'm glad I got that right. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Sorry about that. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when the Broncos were stinking last year, Wyatt was definitely coming over to the Bills Mafia. And then, you know, sort of like midway season, all of a sudden it looked like the Broncos were going to make the playoffs and the Bills weren't. And so he went back Broncos.
One of the things I've found is, you know, you hear about the Bills Mafia, like, you know, your whole life as a football fan. And then I was in Lake Arrowhead, California, taking my 3.5-year-old skiing. And I hear this woman talking about Josh Allen, and I was like, oh, you know, kind of like now I knew a little bit about Buffalo football and how, you know, how well it traveled. And then she started going in. She's like, I'm Bills Mafia and this and that. She had like a Bills shirt underneath. She was a ski instructor underneath. And I was like, oh, my God, like the Bills Mafia travels like absolutely no sports team I know. Like, it's crazy. So that part that has been an education to me of, like, how incredible Bills fans, like, really actually are. And being here now, like, you just see all the billboards and the support for the team and how, like, you know, it's really awesome to see. Like, we don't have that in L.A., obviously. Like, it's just sort of, you know, like, we're a bandwagon city. And so being here with people that really actually, like, take to the team like that, it's really special.
Yeah. Lake Hour, Wyatt and Rich started Canned Cocktails. It's a new one out there. Why did you guys decide to get into it?
We were, this is Rich here. Yeah, we had our wives were best friends and we're trying to get Y and I to be friends for years. And we you know, we're both in our 30s and new dads and felt like we didn't need any new friends. And then we're on like a group family trip a couple years ago. Both had been like IPA drinkers, but we're just feeling kind of like weighed down. And there were a few of the other brands that just had, like, you know, this skinny cans and were overly sweet or syrupy. And we were just surprised that, like, something didn't exist that was marketed towards us was more, like, authentic to, like, a vodka soda or a tequila soda, where it was more subtle and refreshing. So we looked to, like, old Jenny Cream Ale cans or Hams out of Wisconsin and just looked at those Labatts, like, early Labatt cans, just looked at that inspiration for, like, the design of the cans.
And then really, like, a lot of these things, I don't know if you guys have tried ones, but, like, I never had one because I was like, they're just not for me. And I don't like the aftertaste of these fake sugar. This is not my jam. And then we were like, well, we can make one that tastes good. Like, there's got to be a way. And so when we started tasting all of these different flavor combinations, it was like, well, we don't want another black cherry. We don't want another pineapple. And we want something that actually, like, can appeal to the IPA drinker or the beer drinker, where it's like 5%, it's easy to drink, and you don't have the funky aftertaste that appeals to, like, I don't know, I just don't get the aftertaste effect. And so we really, really tried hard to make it and really wanted to make it personal to us. So we have, like, our lake houses are on the can. My grandfather flew a float plane for Al Capone in, like, in the 20s and 30s.
What?
Yeah, we put him on. Yeah, he was, my whole family's from Maine, like, very northern Maine. And they owned a hunting and fishing camp on a lake, Lake Kennebago, that my great-grandfather Buddy, was a World War II pilot. And he was actually the first float plane operator in Maine. It's pretty cool. His pilot's license is number, like, 167, signed by Orville Wright. We have it. He's like a kind of a legendary aviation guy. And so we put him on the plane, on the can, his plane on the can, and, like, wanted to just make it personal because it's not from a company, you know, it's not from a conglomerate. Like, it were two idiots who started a drink company and, you know, want to make something that people can connect to. And there's a story to tell behind it. And this is our life. Like, when I'm literally looking at Rich's lake right now as he lives on it. And I live on a lake in Lake Arrowhead in Los Angeles and grew up on lakes. Like, that's our life. It is really a part of us. So
that's awesome. Anybody who listens to the radio and listens to me knows I'm not a beer drinker. Like, I've never enjoyed the taste of beer. It's never been my thing. I like seltzers. I like these kinds of mixes, and I've tried Lake Hour. Rich had me sample some, and I said, yes, this is for me. I like it. The watermelon cucumber, the rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. It's right up my alley. I know that. So it's very cool. So I'm glad that there's stuff out there like this, and there's a lot more stuff like this, but this is a very unique taste that you guys have.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Sal.
Yeah.
Western New Yorkers are very loyal to local brands and local drinks. And we've really just, like, felt the support in Buffalo and Rochester, Syracuse, like all over the area. It's been our number one territory that we've been selling in. And, yeah, we just have definitely been feeling the local love for sure.
Yeah.
Love it. Where can you get Lake Hour, and where can you get more information on it?
You can definitely go to Drink Lake Hour. Our Instagram is at Drink Lake Hour, and we, you know, do all kinds of fun merch drops. And, you know, we're tasting around Buffalo tomorrow. We were in Rochester today at Century Wines and Pinnacle Liquor. You can go on our website, and there's a brand finder. You can type in your address. It'll show you the closest location you can get it. We're at a lot of bars and restaurants, which is kind of incredible for these drinks, but you know, people really like the taste, and it's a good beer replacement if you're not feeling the beer vibes when you go in. But, like, yeah, you can find us at your local spot if you go on the brand finder on the website. Go to lakehour.com.
Yeah, and tomorrow we'll be at Colonial Wine and Spirits, Southtown, Beltline Brewing, Addie's, El Punta, and then we're doing a happy hour at awesome. More Room. At the end of the day. Wow. And then there's the new pool, that pool bar that opened up, Seoul, our buddy Simon is a part of, and they sell Lake Hour over there as well.
More Room, you said you're there tomorrow?
Yep, we'll be there tomorrow at More Room.
All right. I think I might stop by then. That's right. That's my neck
of the
woods.
Not far from my house either. Yeah,
that's one of my go-tos. So, all right. I'll be at More Room tomorrow then. I'll try one.
Right on. Yeah, very cool.
Perfect opportunity. Guys, thanks for coming on. Wyatt and LakeHour.com. It was the site. Yeah, Rich as well. But LakeHour.com was the site.
That's why I made sure. And Drink Lake Hour, at Drink Lake Hour for our Instagram for all the fun updates.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys. Later.
All right. Cool. I'm
One final note about that story we told. I want to get to when we come back, because that is super cool, that story about that Wayne Gretzky thing, isn't it?
Yes. We'll do that in Extendo Sports right after this timeout here on WGR.
Joe, one final note I wanted to mention.
Okay.
That picture that we talked about, Goldie Hawn, Burt Reynolds, Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier's in there, taken by our buddy Bill Wippert. I mean, you go back to even then. Bill took that picture. That's amazing, right? I mean, Bill's still doing it. He does an amazing job. He's been the photographer of the Bills and Sabres for so long. But yeah, he actually took that picture we were talking about.
I wonder where he'd rank that picture among all pictures he's ever taken.
It's a great question. I'll have to ask him that.
It's because it's very unique, right? It's not like an action shot like on the ice or something.
Right.
It's Burt Reynolds, Wayne Gretzky, as we found out just now. What was the name? Thank you. And then Peter Pocklington, the Oilers owner then. All in front. And then there's another one of Messier with
Messier's there too. They took a whole bunch of them. Yeah, it's like a red carpet photo shoot that night.
In front of the Sabres logo.
Yeah.
Which is funny. All right. That's gonna do it for us. Stay tuned, Extra Point Show. Josh and Zach on the way. Tomorrow, it'll be me and Nate tomorrow. And we will have Sam Monson on.
Ooh, nice.
And we will also have a fantasy guest, as in the summer, we'll do our little fantasy Friday. And we will, I believe, talk to Adam Krautwurst tomorrow, but I don't have that locked in yet, so we'll talk to somebody on fantasy at least. Over my dead body, we will get through that whole show without talking fantasy at least once. All right, stay tuned. Zach and Josh on the way next here in WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, one final note I wanted to mention.
Okay.
That picture that we talked about.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn, Burt Reynolds, Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier's in there. Taken by our buddy Bill Wippert. Bill, yes. I mean, you go back to even then. Bill took that picture. That's amazing, right? I mean, Bill's still doing it. He does an amazing job. He's been the photographer of the Bills and Sabres for so long. But yeah, he actually took that picture we were talking
about. I wonder where he'd rank that picture among all pictures he's ever taken.
It's a great question. I'll have to ask him that.
It's because it's very unique, right? It's, I mean,
yes.
It's not like an action shot, like on the ice or something.
Right.
It's Burt Reynolds, Wayne Gretzky, as we found out just now. What was the name? Thank you. And then Peter Pocklington, the Oilers owner then. All in front. And then there's another one of Messier with
Messier is there too. They took a whole bunch of them. Yeah, it's like a red carpet photo shoot that night.
In front of the Sabres logo.
Yeah.
Which is funny. All right. That's going to do it for us. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show. Josh and Zach on the way. Tomorrow, it'll be me and Nate tomorrow. And we will have Sam Monson on.
Ooh, nice.
And we will also have a fantasy guest, as in the summer. We'll do our little Fantasy Friday. And we will, I believe, talk to Adam Krautwurst tomorrow, but I don't have that locked in yet. So we'll talk to somebody on fantasy at least. Over my dead body, we will get through that whole show without talking fantasy at least once. All right, stay tuned. Zach and Josh on the way next here in WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.